You'd like to turn with me in your Bibles. We'll be reading from the book of Colossians, Colossian letter, in the first chapter. We're going to begin reading with the 12th verse. There's actually some that's there's about seven or eight verses that make up just one sentence here. The Apostle Paul kind of wrote long sentences sometimes. And we're going to start in the middle of a sentence, but I'm going to read the remainder of the chapter. So bear with us as we read this. Starting the 12th verse of the first chapter of Colossians. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, who were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fill the word of God, or to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, which we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that ye may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Excusing my reading mistakes, it's 12th through 29th verses of the first chapter of Colossians. Our thought this morning is going to come from the 26th and 27th verses. And I want to reread those. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ in you, or which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory is defined as the highest praise or adoration that can be given. We glorify God, we give praise, we give adoration to him. We acknowledge him for who he is, being the creator and being the father of all things, being the one who made this world. Of course, there are some people that disagree with that, but they disagree because of their ill thinking and not because of the facts of that have been given. And by faith, we accept those things that are given to us as far as the creation, and that God has created all things. For had he not, then there's no purpose for God being there for us. And of course, those who believe that he did not create things don't believe in him to start with. So the hope that we have in us is in Christ Jesus, and he's our hope for glory. He's our hope for acknowledgement as being children of God. He's our hope for any recognition that we might have. He's our righteousness, for we have no righteousness within ourselves. As these scriptures, and there could be many sermons taken from these passages, or this passage of scripture that I read, that talks about the fact that Jesus gave himself for us, that we might have eternal life through him, and that he provided for mankind the opportunity for salvation. Now, throughout the scriptures, and I believe in virtually every book of the New Testament, especially in the epistles of the New Testament, there is reference given to glory to God or glory to Christ, or and various types of references in that regard, to give glory unto the Father, or that praise or recognition, admiration to him, for he certainly do that since he's provided for us in salvation and provided for us in all the things that he has. But we have that hope in glory because Christ is in us, because of the mystery that Paul wrote about there in the 26th verse, the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generations. Now, he was writing at a time after Jesus had come and lived in his personal life and ministry, and had given his self for our sins, and had been buried and been resurrected, and had gone back to be with the Father. But this was the revealing, or the manifestation of the mystery of God that he had given since the beginning of the world. That he first preached in the Garden of Eden to Satan himself in the presence of Adam and Eve, when he talked about the fact that the child, or the seed as it was, of a woman would bruise the head of Satan. And of course he was talking about Jesus himself coming and being the Messiah. And the Messiah had been preached and had been taught and had been given for even those before the law. Job was a character of the Bible that preceded the law being given, as far as we know by historical accounts. And there was others that was given. And then, of course, Moses came along, and God gave him the information that he needed to go back and to record history as God had made it and had given to various peoples, and gave us the timeline of things that took place. And Moses wrote these things down, and in the book of Genesis, or the beginnings, that we have record of. And then he gave the laws that go from Exodus through Deuteronomy that we have record of. And all of these things had a cloud of mystery about them, because they foretold of one that was to come that would be the Messiah, one that would be the Savior, one that would be someone who would save the people. And people in those days previous to the coming of Jesus didn't understand. They didn't know his name. They didn't know exactly what it was going to be. They just had faith that it was going to happen. And so they put their faith in the expectation that they had. But the mystery was revealed when Jesus came. And his life was revealed before us. And then even after his life, there was further revelation given all the way through the book of Revelation, where God gave revelation unto John of things yet to come ahead of Christ, or behind Christ, rather, that we have, that we look at. And then that was the completion of the revelation. the completion of the mystery, but the Apostle Paul had been preaching this mystery, and this mystery had been now revealed to the Gentiles. And of course, he was writing to the Colossians, who for the most part were Gentiles, that are the churches of Colossae, the area of Colossae. And he was telling them about this man, Jesus. He had gone there and he had preached and established churches in that area. And he was writing back to them to reinforce those things that he had preached and that he had left for them, that they might have this doctrinal information. And that their hope in Christ, or their hope in glory, was in Christ, and Christ was in them. And so this mystery had been revealed about the Son of God. We, in the New Testament days, have the written word of God in the gospel accounts, as well as the writings of Paul and Peter and some other writers of the New Testament, John. We have these accounts given to us to reveal that mystery. And so we have an understanding of the mystery given to us, and that Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament scriptures, that they were the schoolmasters, Paul said, for us, to guide us to the Christ, that we might see him. And that when he came, and he lived, and he died, and he rose, and he ascended back to heaven, that these things were factual information that have been preached since that time. So the mystery had been revealed, that we know what the Old Testament was talking about, what it was pointing us to, was in Christ Jesus. And still today, as Paul's writing to the churches of Colossae, we see that we have been exposed to the truth of God's word and the mystery of God's word. The Apostle Paul, on another occasion, asked people to pray for him that he might make known the mystery of the gospel. And that's what we still do today, because a lot of people are in darkness. And in darkness, they need to know about the light. And so it's our job to tell them about the light. It's our job to tell them about the way to find satisfaction in life, the way to find relief from the burden of sin, to find a way that they can come in contact and know God, and that is through Jesus Christ. And so we are still revealing the mystery, even though that it's been revealed to those of us that know it. We still have the responsibility of sharing it to others that have not seen or understand the mystery. It's much, I'd use an example anyway, that there are some simple, what is called magic tricks, that seem to be something that they're not. And once that a magic trick is explained and you can see the details of how it works, then all of a sudden it's not magic anymore. It's just an illusion. It's just something that has been done cause you a difficulty of understanding what's going on. But once you understand it, then it's not a mystery anymore. The gospel has been given, and it was given so that people might hear it. And yet, when a person is lost, they are prevented from understanding it spiritually. So they have to, by faith, trust in the Lord that that might be revealed to them. We can tell about it all day long, but we can't reveal it to their heart. We can just tell them about the circumstances of what Jesus did and how he provided for them eternal life and how he provided for them a means that they could obtain that eternal life. How that that Jesus had come and given himself to be the means of salvation for everyone that would believe in him. But it's up to that individual that hears that information to take it and with the accompaniment of the Holy Spirit to their heart, that they might put their trust in the Lord. And the Lord reveals the fullness of that mystery to them when they trust in him. And then all of a sudden they're made alive in Christ. They're made to know the Lord. They're made to have eternal life. And all of a sudden it becomes real. It becomes something that we look back on and we say, well, Why didn't I believe that before? Or why did I wait so long? Or why did I put it off? That's why we hear people say all the time, I wouldn't go back and be lost again for anything. Why can't people see it? Well, they can't see it because they're is blinded, or they are blinded to the mystery of it, because they have not yet exercised faith in it. The mystery's been revealed, and we can tell people about the mystery, but until that they trust in the message that has been given and in the messenger that brought it in Jesus Christ, they cannot have an understanding of that mystery. And so he said that in this case, that the mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest, who to? To his saints. Not to the whole world, but to his saints. It's available to be made known to the whole world, but his saints, or the saved people, are the ones that understand the mystery. We understand what Jesus did for us. Now, a lot of people can understand to some degree in their mind that it happened, but they can't understand the working of that mystery until that they put their trust in Jesus, that it's a heart work, that there is an actual hope that is placed within them. Not a hope-so thing, as many people hope that by their works, and hope by their religious rituals, and hope by the things that they do in life that they will get into heaven. But it's a living hope that is put within the heart of an individual. And we have a hope for this adoration and praise that we will have and share with Jesus in heaven. Because we're joint heirs with Christ, those of us that are saved. And God, through his angels, will give adoration unto us for having put our trust in Jesus. We ourselves are giving the adoration to Jesus for having provided salvation for us. Even though we're told that we'll be given crowns of glory, we'll be given, that's a term of praise and adoration, for somebody to wear a crown, whether it be a crown of victory or a crown of kingship or whatever it might be. But it also, the Bible says that we'll take our crowns and cast them at Jesus' feet, because he's the one that's due all of the real praise and adoration. But yet the angels will be astonished at those who are saved and how that God blesses them and pours upon them all of the wonders of heaven for them. And he provides for us, and we have this hope of glory yet to come that we will be able to share with Jesus in heaven. In the concluding remarks of the Apostle Paul to the Romans, in the Roman letter 16th chapter, he says, and starting in the 25th verse, now to him that is power to sustain or to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to revelation of the mystery. The revelation of the mystery, the revealing of the mystery. He has revealed unto his saints, he's revealed unto the saved, the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Again, there was, let me go back to that. The tree of life was in the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve had access to the tree of life. Had they eaten of the fruit of the tree of life, they would have lived forever. They would not have died. But they had not eaten of that tree. Now, they were already satisfied with what conditions they were in, because everything's perfect for them, until that they ate of the forbidden fruit, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when that happened, they sinned, because they had broken God's one law, the one thing he said not to do. And after that, we find that there was a discussion among the deity, among Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And they said, now, Adam and Eve, now they've sinned. If they go and eat of the tree of life, they'll live forever, and they'll live forever in their sin. But that was not to be. And so there was a sword placed around the tree of life, a flaming sword. And that was the gospel. That was the mystery of it. Because now all of a sudden they didn't understand that tree. It was to protect the tree of life. so that someone who was lost could not partake of it, lest that they get their lost condition taken care of. The tree of life was removed, evidently because we find in the book of Revelation that it's in heaven. And the tree of life, the access to it now, is because that the gospel protects it. But when we hear the gospel message, and we believe the gospel message, and we believe the Christ of the gospel message, and we put our faith in him to the salvation of our soul, then we are given access to the tree of life, and we have eternal life given to us, so that we will live forever with God in heaven. We have that hope of glory because of that was given to us. But the mystery has been since the world began. And so the tree of life has been protected, or the way to the tree of life has been protected by the gospel. The gospel is that two-edged sword, that sword that protects the tree of life. That's why it is necessary for the gospel to be preached and necessary for the gospel to be heard. It's necessary for that message that is given in the gospel to reach the hearts of individuals. And it can only be done by the work of the Holy Spirit, taking that to the heart and pricking the heart, that the person might realize that they are lost and they need salvation, and then they seek the Lord for salvation, then they're given that access. But the gospel has been preached, and the Old Testament scriptures that taught it, there are so many that didn't understand it. There were some that did. There were some that sought the Lord. There were some that got saved. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and many of the people in the day of Jesus, they had misunderstood the gospel message. They thought it was about keeping the laws that they might become perfect. But the law was given to make man aware of their sin so that they would turn to God to get forgiveness of their sin. And the mystery of the knowledge of Jesus Christ was kept from people because they could not take it on their own. They had to be given it. They had to be given the blessings of salvation by their faith in God through his son Jesus Christ for the salvation of their soul. But he said that it was the revelation of the mystery, or the revealing of Christ is what it meant to here, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, or it's made apparent, by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So he's saying here that the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, because that's what they were still reading then. They didn't have much of the New Testament written, and it wasn't readily available to everybody. So he's still talking about the Old Testament. The scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, has been made known to all nations. He said now, through the coming or the manifestation of Jesus Christ, him coming and living and dying and ascending back to heaven after he arose again, that this is an understanding or of the fulfillment of these Old Testament scriptures, and that it's going out to all nations. The gospel is shared with all peoples, and it's free to everyone. But the mystery of the Old Testament was in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is still a mystery to those that are unbelieving. But that mystery is revealed to everyone that will put their faith in him. It's not just a reasoning thing of the mind, but it comes to the point of saying, I don't understand it all. I just know I'm lost. I know I need to be saved. And I know that Jesus is the way. And so I trust in him for my soul salvation. And when that takes place, and a person totally repents of their sin and puts their trust in Jesus, then salvation comes, new life comes, the new birth takes place. And a person has a revelation of the understanding of that mystery that has been given. And because of that, that we're to give glory unto Christ throughout all ages. And We find, again, we could go from book to book in the New Testament that tells us to do that, or it makes mention of it for us. And I want to read just one other passage of Scripture in relation to that. In the Ephesian letter, the third chapter of Ephesians in the 19th verse, starting there, he says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, let me just stop right there before I read the rest of that. To know the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ is not to know about Christ, it's not to know about his love, but it's to know the love of Christ, to have experienced the love of Christ, to have that salvation experience where the love of God is placed within our heart. And the Bible tells us that his love is shed abroad in our heart. It's made a love there that we have not known before, that we can't know in the emotional state of our physical being, but it's something that takes place in our spirit that goes beyond knowledge, he says, or beyond understanding, as he says in another place. It passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. We are filled with God. We're filled with his fullness. He gives us everything that we need when we get saved. And in doing so, then he says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Now, because that he has made known the mystery of the gospel, he has given us an understanding that's beyond knowledge. It's beyond what we can understand in our mind. It becomes revealed to us. The mystery becomes known to us. The understanding comes to us that there has been a new life given, that we have been raised from a dead state of spiritual condition to a living state of spiritual condition with a lively hope within us and an expectation of the fulfillment of God's promises to us because that he has saved us. And so because of that, we should give glory unto him. And notice what the way that he said that in the 21st verse. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages. The glory that we are to give to Jesus Christ should be through the church, because the church is the institution that was established to carry the gospel into the world, to make known the mystery to the world, to share the message of salvation to the world. When that salvation message goes out and people get saved, the church ought to rejoice in that. We ought to glory in that, the fact that Jesus has provided through us the opportunity to help someone to find the Lord and to point them towards Jesus. And we should glory, and through the church we should glory in Christ Jesus. The church was instituted that we might serve him in the church, and the church should be the one that gets the glory for the work that is done. Each of us as individuals have a responsibility. I hope you'll read the pastor's comments in the bulletin today, talk about being a member of a church and what it means to you and the responsibilities that are involved there. And I'm going to be putting more stuff like that in the bulletin as we go along. But the fact is that we as individual members of the Lord's church have responsibility. And when the church's purpose is fulfilled in sharing the gospel, then we all get a blessing from that. The church is blessed from that. And this is the way it was designed, that Christ be given the glory, was through his church. Now, individually, we can give glory to Christ. We can give honor to Christ. We can show our appreciation to Christ. But the institution of the church that Jesus established is the means by which that we are really to give glory to him, because when his church is fulfilling the obligations that they have and that the church has been given, and that we're doing the things that the Lord expects of us, then he blesses us in that, and souls get saved in the work that we do. And therefore, the Lord is uplifted in that, and we give praise and honor and glory to him. And through the church and through the work of the church and through our efforts in the church, we have the responsibility to share the gospel, and we have the responsibility to gather the glory unto Christ Jesus and to give that to him throughout the ages until time comes to an end and he calls us home. And then we have that hope of glory being in his presence and enjoying what God has provided for his son Jesus, and us to jointly enjoy that with him as his brothers and sisters in the Lord. Paul said, we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, he was talking about the church here, that we should be made perfect. We should be sanctified. We should serve the Lord in perfection. Now, because of our human nature, our nature is not going to be perfect. But our soul is perfect. And we should strive for perfection in our service to the Lord. And so this was Paul's intention, was to encourage people to serve appropriately in the service of God and in the church of God, so that he might get the honor and the glory in all things that are accomplished. Because in him is all of the hope for this world. It's not in us. It's not in what we can do, but it's in the message that the church has been given the commission to carry out. And we as God's people and we as church members have the responsibility to collectively carry that gospel message out. This is the means that he established, that the word might go out for people to be saved. And that's our responsibility. But we have a promise of hope of glory to come in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we should always give the praise and the honor and the glory to him, both here and in eternity. And that we should administer our responsibilities as well as we possibly can, because there's souls that require the gospel to reach them in order to be saved. And it's our job to share that gospel message individually and collectively as a church, that we might reach out and see people saved. May we find that we can praise God, honor and glorify his son, and give glory, adoration and praise unto him for what he has done for us and through us, and give recognition to the one that deserves it all. To anyone that's here and unsaved, our message to you is that this mystery can be revealed. What you don't understand can be shown to you. You'll never understand it in the mind. It'll have to be a work of the heart. And when the Lord comes into the heart, he opens the eyes. He puts light where there was darkness. He gives you understanding where there was none. And you can find in Jesus this glory and this hope. That, like we sang about the old account will settle, your account will be settled. He'll wipe the slate clean. You won't owe him anything. It's all paid for by Jesus and what he did on Calvary's cross. May God help you to find him. Let's have a song. This altar is always open for lost people to come and seek the Lord. And we would encourage you to do so if you don't know the Lord. But let us together join in our efforts to glorify God. Stand and sing.
Turn to page number 317, sing the first and the last verse.
Jesus, the Savior, died for the lost. With his own blood, he paid the cost. Purchase my pardon now, I'm free.
Just to find out what it is.